Hello, America. This is Richard TNT, host of The American Truth in Reality. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Brown. And we have a lot of things to talk about in today's show. A lot of interesting topics, things that have happened in our country, in our world, in the past week, and some history, as well as some current events that may impact every American and make this country look completely different 12, 18, 24 months out than it does today. First, we like to get to the weekly news that was in the headlines for the past week. And Bob, I don't know about you, but I heard a whole lot of news about the U.S. Representative Anthony Weiner, Democrat out of New York.
Oh, Queens, yeah. We started there. We were told that before, yeah. Weiner or Weiner, I wonder what it was.
Well, he's pronounced Weiner.
Yeah.
And what was funny is
ironic.
There were different comedians and hosts of different radio programs that were having a ball with the name.
Yeah, right.
No pun intended, but Mr.
Good, very good.
Mr. Weiner was subject to headlines that read, yeah. Pelosi wants Weiner out.
Can we scratch that?
Scratch what?
Dub it. No, what did he do? What did Weiner actually do?
Well,
what's he?
There were news reports and his own admission over the period. He was a creep. He's guilty of being a creep by his own admission.
Well, because he admitted that he made a mistake. He did admit that.
But he also gave information.
What did he do, though? What was the mistake?
He took photos of himself and his body parts,
yeah.
Some clothes, some not,
okay,
and sent them out to people on his Twitter account, distribution.
Get out of here.
Instant messaging Twitter. What makes it so foolish is not only the behavior being foolish from a person that is U.S. representative in the House of Representatives, but what made it worse is that he was foolish enough to not just send it to one or two or three individuals. He actually sent it to his distribution list.
Oh, he did?
So that
there was a commercial on that.
The thousands of people that were on his
list.
Did you
see the commercial? The guy says, hey, Louie, you hit respond all when I just wanted you to send me the reply. And the guy gets up and he's ripping computers out of people's hands and ripping wires out. Did you see that commercial?
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's hilarious. And then the guy, he comes back to his desk exhausted. And the guy says, oh, I'm sorry. You did just send it to me. My bad.
Oh, boy.
What a commercial. Anyway.
So Weiner did that. He sent
it up. Why is he denying, or why is he saying he's not resigning, and he's not resigning? He's fighting.
Well, I think it's he's clung onto power. He doesn't want to give up power. And that's the intoxication that.
But then why are his constituents supporting him staying?
Well, he's addicted to his power, Bob. And when you're a U.S. congressman from New York, you have a lot of power, and you have constituents that empower you. Weiner was a pit bull for the Democratic Party in an opposing point of view, a far left view. And, of course, he has ambitions to run for New York mayor.
Does he?
And not resigning after this begs the question, will New York support him or will New York dump him? Elliot Spitzer, former governor, gets caught with a prostitute, has to resign the governorship. Now he's running a primetime news show on CNN.
Yeah, and he didn't fight it, I don't think. Or did he, Spitzer?
Spitzer didn't come out with outright denials. That's a good point. The problem with Weiner is that he came out on national television, Anderson Cooper or I'm not sure if it was Larry King, but he was out on all the major news outlets looking right in the camera and saying that he was hacked, someone else did this as a practical joke, he's a victim.
See,
Then he retracted that after there was evidence that came in that they had other photos of him. And then he came clean that he sent these kind of pictures out to six different women over a period of 3 years.
Oh, is that right?
Right. But he refuses to resign.
Yeah.
And the political heat is being turned up on him. So the question is, should he resign or should he stay? Whether you support his politics or not. And where do you come down on that?
Boy, he's got to stay. He's got to stay and he's got to fight. He's got to stay in office. His constituent clearly won. And he has to fight this out in court. I think he's going to do that. And he might win.
Well, first of all, there's now Fox News is reporting today that the FBI is investigating that one of the recipients on his Twitter account was a 17-year-old girl, a follower on
Twitter.
Oh,
yeah, but the latest on that was this morning. You probably didn't see it. I caught the latest on that, and it's now, what, 2 o'clock? I caught this at 8 or 9, so this may have changed since then. But he said that the interchange, the Twitter exchange between the 17-year-old and him, according to him, was perfectly above board, professional, and ethical, and she supported that.
Fox News reported that as such. It's on their website.
So he didn't send his pictures of his body to this 17-year-old.
Not those particular nudist pictures, if you will, or pictures of his privates.
Anything to her. But he didn't send anything like that to her.
Well, all the recipients, as I understand, on his list got certain pictures, but not the ones that have graphic nature. Only.
Yeah, see, I don't know any of this. Did you read this?
It's been all over the news. But anyway.
I don't follow that crap.
Well, it's hard to avoid it when every newscast, CNN, Fox, they're obsessed with it. And it's all over the papers. But yeah. I don't agree with destroying a man's life because he made foolish judgment.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that needs to be balanced with having responsible, decent, non-creepy individuals that have honor and dignity and values serving in our House of Representatives.
Okay, where's forgiveness?
Forgiveness is a matter of heart.
It's an obligation.
Yes.
It's a command.
And it's a matter of heart.
So it's
I can forgive Anthony Weiner. That's between him and God, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't have to support his maintaining a position in the U.S. House of Representatives because I think he's a creep.
Okay, so you would vote against him.
Number one, because of his policies and his positions and what he stands for. He's a far left winger.
Is he really?
A far left winger.
Is he really?
And that's why he is a pit bull for the far left, because they send him out on the lead to be attack dog.
So is it possible that somebody maybe could have set him up?
No, because by his own admission, he sent inappropriate photographs
of his
while body. He was married and before he was married.
By his own admission?
By his own admission. And he has a pregnant wife early in her pregnancy. And she, of course, works at one of the senior officials working under Hillary Rodham Clinton in the U.S. Department of Secretary of State. So, anyway, my thinking on Anthony Weiner is very simple. First of all, I wish the news media would just find something else to report.
Really.
Everything that there's to know there is pretty much there, unless he was super creepy and children were involved or somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he didn't
but here's the way
break
the
law, I don't think.
Here's the way the U.S. media works. No, I don't think he broke the law, but that's why they're looking into the 17-year-old.
And they were trying to see if he broke the law, but he didn't.
Well, if there's others.
So that's why I'm saying he may not have broken the law.
So far. As what we know.
Right. Now, is it shameful behavior? Yeah. But you know what? I'm guilty of that.
Well, here's the thing. The news media in this country operates where there's smoke, there's fire. And they are all over the story because it's got legs, as they say.
Yeah.
And they're not going to let it go until either he's out of office or until something else happens. I don't think everyone can just ignore it. The only thing that saves Anthony Weiner right now is a major world event that bumps him off the headlines. And puts him where he isn't really paid any attention to.
My final thought is that it was a shot across the bow by the far right saying, okay, boys, we can play the same game you can.
Right. And by the way,
which brings us to the battle between what? Good and evil.
Good and evil. And by the way, if you want to continue to be a co-host on American Truth and Reality, you better listen to the news and what's being reported. You can't come in here and say that you don't know that you didn't hear that or
know
that.
What? It doesn't change
where you
my
been?
Opinion.
You've been on the golf course?
I don't like listening to news every day. You'll go nuts. It's like Brewers. I can't watch every game. You go nuts with that. I got to step back and take it in once in a while. Right. Otherwise, I get too upset, uptight, and stressed.
Well, you're not alone, and it's hard to avoid sometimes. You know, you just walk by newspaper stands and the headlines. You turn on the TV, that's all the news wants to talk about. Yeah. You listen to the radio, that's all the radio wants to talk about.
Yeah.
So we're going to spend very little time on Anthony Weiner. We're going to move on.
Yeah,
but it is the news of the week, and yeah. Part of this program is making predictions moving forward, and I'd like your prediction. I'm going to go ahead and give my prediction after your prediction.
Okay.
As to whether, A, he stays in office,
uh-huh.
and when that decision will be rendered. If he's going to stay in office, will that be solidified within the next week, 2 weeks, month, whatever?
Uh-huh.
Or if he resigns, how quickly and soon would he resign from office? What do you think?
He will not resign. He will stay. He will be acquitted of these charges, and he will be reelected.
By the people of New York?
Mm-hmm.
In his district?
By his district, yep.
Interesting.
He will be acquitted of these charges.
I predict that he will, in fact, resign. It will be, today is June 11th, 2011,
right.
So it'll be within the next week to 2 weeks.
No way.
And unless the only saving grace for Representative Weiner is that some major event bumps him out of the headlines. But barring that,
mm-hmm.
if he stays in the headlines, the pressure will be into it. He'll
two
resign
weeks.
And he'll run again, and he'll run for mayor of New York. And he might win. He just might win. And New Yorkers are known for giving people second chances.
Here's
this all hinges on whether there is illegal activity.
Right. Right. And he will be acquitted, and he will win his court fight, and people will come roar. They'll lift him up on a platform. He'll roar into New York mayor candidate. He'll win that election.
So you're
going away.
You're predicting a court battle? Because there's no pending litigation against him.
A long court battle. Because and it will be, he will be
over
acquitted.
What? Over what? Refusing to resign?
No, over him doing something illegal.
Who's going to bring the charges?
Great question. I predict he will be charged. And has he been charged? Because they're dragging him through what kind of mud?
Anthony Weiner would only face charges by, you know, the state of New York, if they found, or the FBI, if they found some kind of law was broken.
Yeah, they're looking, man.
Yeah, and they're looking, because where there's smoke, there's usually fire. And this creeped everybody out. You got to remember, Anthony Weiner was clean in terms of reputation. He was solid, and he was very much a player in the Democratic Party. And there's going to be pressure on Democrats, if there isn't already enough pressure on Democrats to get him to resign. But we haven't seen the end of him. He'll resurrect his career. New Yorkers, again, will give him a second chance somewhere. Yeah. Maybe he'll be like Elliot Spitzer. Maybe we'll have the Elliot Spitzer and Anthony Weiner television program on CNN to look forward to.
Yeah. I don't like Spitzer.
You know, you can see there's an intelligent man there.
Yes.
But I do think that his thinking is off.
Yeah.
That brings up another guy. You know, part of this program is we like to make commentary on other news hosts and everything.
Yeah.
This guy in MSNBC, Lawrence O'Donnell.
Oh, geez.
I can hardly stand even looking at him, much less listening to him. He's such a left-wing hack that it's very difficult.
He is strong, man. He is very strong.
In what way?
Powerful. He delivers his message he doesn't blink. You ever notice that? He doesn't do a teleprompter either. He's looking right at you, eye to eye.
I get the sense.
And he doesn't even blink.
Does he look angry to you? He looks angry to me.
He looks like a robot to me.
Almost.
He's a robot to me.
But an angry robot.
He doesn't move. His inflections are minimal. And there's no blinking.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's a human being, but we can verify that.
Yeah, right. That's worth a check. But he is strong. I don't like him. I do not like him at all.
I'm not convinced that he's all that strong. I think that could be a facade. I think that he is very, and he has an opinionated show. He's entitled to his opinions. But I think his opinions are so warped and so off and so rhetorical.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of the interview you did with Condoleezza Rice. Condoleezza Rice's interview,
We were talking about it.
I think it was in her office, and she gave Lawrence O'Donnell, They aired Lawrence O'Donnell's interview first the day before, and then the next day, Anderson Cooper. Uh-huh. It was like night and day.
Really?
It was. She had.
I think I saw some of it. It was a while ago.
She had his number and the way he was asking questions of her. And she threatened
she put
to
him
say,
in his place?
Well, she threatened to get up and leave the interview.
Oh, I love it.
A couple of times. However, the next day, Anderson Cooper had a very cordial, informational, and more productive interview because he wasn't asking rhetorical questions, and he wasn't such a coming off as such a left-wing hack.
Yeah. I like him, 360.
Cooper. I think Anderson Cooper, in terms of the left side of news reporting for CNN, I think Anderson Cooper is as middle as you can
right
find.
I think he's as middle as you can find.
Right, but he's left-leaning, but he's...
Is he?
Yeah, he's middle.
Is he left-leaning? Okay.
Now, you take a guy that I admire a lot, Sean Hannity on Fox News.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that tells it to you straight with facts and data.
Yeah,
and
he's
tells it the truth.
He's very strong.
But if you ever watch the other programs on MSNBC, CNN, these commentary, but they're always attacking Fox News. They're always criticizing Fox News.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're always slamming the commentators. But I find it funny. Why is it that Fox News is number one in the ratings?
Yeah, is it?
Well, I guess you always attack the lead dog, right?
Wow. It is number one in the ratings?
Of course.
I like that.
For years.
I love it.
Really, since its inception,
really?
Fox News,
really?
Or perhaps, you know, that took time to ramp up, but
since
they became a national player of news media, Fox News has ranked in their programs O'Reilly Factor, even Glenn Beck's show, and Hannity's show.
Yeah.
And even back to Hannity and Combs. Those shows outranked all of the counterpart shows.
Yeah. In their markets as they were growing, as they were maturing. Yeah, Limbaugh, Beck, Hannity. Hannity is...
Well, Limbaugh has his own program, and he's a guest on Fox News from time to time. But
I like that. He started. He was the founder.
Well, he is.
He's the original. I love it.
And they...
With half my brain tied behind my back. I love that.
He's a character.
I love that expression.
Russia's
got and he used to ruffle the newspapers in his microphone. Let's see what's going. And it was the Times, I think. He was ripping them. Yeah. I don't know, or the Post maybe.
That was the Times.
I still like listening to him.
I listen to Rush with as much frequency as I can. Sure. And O'Reilly Factor with Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck.
O'Reilly's good. O'Reilly doesn't let his opponent talk very much, which is Donald McDonald's problem too. What is his name? The first guy we're talking about, the lefty robot.
Oh, you're talking about Lawrence O'Donnell.
Lawrence O'Donnell, yeah. I don't. It's not an everyday word for me because I don't listen to him. I don't like him. I don't like listening to the robot.
I like the listening to seeing what the other side is saying about what's going on and whether they're telling the truth or they're putting their spin.
And do you go to him to get that?
Yeah, it's nothing but spin.
Yeah,
it's nothing but rhetoric.
What about that lady?
Rachel Maddow?
Maddow, yeah. You listen to her?
There are many things about Rachel Maddow personally that I like and the way she delivers. I think I like her personality.
Yeah.
And she's got a certain way of packaging
I agree.
Stories that I find to be interesting and intriguing. However, her political views,
twist on things.
Her spin is far left.
Is way left.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No,
too far.
And there's another guy, the Ed Show. You ever see the Ed Show?
Plus, I kind of keep looking for a cleavage, and it's never there. I'm sorry.
The Ed Show. We'll pretend you didn't say that.
Okay.
The Ed Show is on MSNBC. He just got in trouble for calling Laura Ingraham the S word. Starts with S, ends in T, and...
Oh, yeah.
And anyway...
Who called who?
He got reprimanded, was off the air, but...
Oh, really?
A radio personality that hosts The Ed Show on CNN. I think it's either right before or after Lawrence O'Donnell.
Oh.
And somewhere in between before or after Rachel Maddow. But anyway...
Got taken off the air?
He was removed from the air for, I think, 2 weeks, reprimanded, but now he's back on. Now, here's a guy, Ed... Very liberal, very left winger, but I happen to like him. You know, I have experienced watching some of these personalities on the television. mm-hmm. that I actually like him personally. They seem like, mm-hmm. you know, I could be friends with them, mm-hmm. even though we're on two different ends of the spectrum.
Like who? Anybody?
All these people. I'm not sure about O'Donnell. There's something about O'Donnell.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I could see myself being friends, even though we have completely different viewpoints on geopolitics or yes. world events or
friends with
partisan issues or policies.
Him?
I could see myself being friends with a girl like Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow, yeah.
Anderson Cooper.
Yes,
Ed
definitely.
From the Ed Show. Because I think they're good. They're decent, good people. Mm-hmm. I just think they're way off on their political views. I'd love to be on one of their shows. But the problem with all three of those shows, although I've noticed a change lately, Anderson Cooper seems to be doing this a little bit more. O'Donnell is very, very selective. The Ed Show seems to be doing it. And Rachel Maddow, to her credit, has had a few. But they've been forced to do this because Fox News leads in this. And that offer a contrary point of view.
I agree.
Not just have guests on the show that agree with
support
your commentary.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. They do. What I noticed about O'Donnell is he rips people. It doesn't give him a chance to talk. And so does O'Reilly. He jumps on people before they can even make their points. He's like, they're the other side, but you don't know what, they don't get a chance to express it because he just shuts them down, shuts them off. O'Donnell does it and O'Reilly do it. Interesting. Well, do the Irish do that?
Yeah, I don't know. It could be.
Yeah.
I'm Irish.
Well, I'm connecting dots. You know me.
I'm trying to be better at it, but I've been known to interrupt people from time to time.
And
O'Reilly catches a lot of flack for interrupting, but I don't think he cares because he's still got the number one rated show, and maybe people like that. Maybe they're thinking along O'Reilly's lines, and they want him to pounce on him. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a reason he ranks number one.
My favorite guest of his, O'Reilly's, is Dennis Miller.
Miller time. Welcome to Miller time.
He is one of the greatest intellects this country has ever produced.
He's a funny guy. He's got his own radio program.
Oh, too. Is he hilarious, and is he intelligent. Oh, my God. I like Dennis Miller. I've never come in connection with an intellect as deep, broad, and funny as his.
I think he's a smart guy, but I disagree with some of his positions, including some positions of faith. He takes a very ambivalent neutral...
He does.
Yeah, and I think that works against.
Yeah, I agree.
His purpose, if you will.
Yeah.
But I like him. He's funny. He's a good guy.
Yeah, you're right.
But I mean,
you're right.
Of all political persuasions, I could see having a professional or a friendship relationship with these people. But there's something about the way they present their opinions that just makes me not. Trust.
Engage? Oh, trust.
I don't trust that they're giving it to me straight. Whereas on Fox News, most of their commentary shows, I feel they're giving it to me straight. They're giving me factual data, and they are truly letting the viewer decide. I feel MSNBC, CNN, whoever the host is, as much as I might like them and think they're a good person or enjoy listening to them or be entertained by them, they seem to be wanting to interpret the news and facts for me,
I don't like that. Yeah,
or the viewer, but all viewers are personal.
It's really hard to know. It's really hard to know what is the truth. It really is, man. Where do you go to find it? We are suggesting you dial in here, but we don't have the answers to everything. We just have spins on it.
This show, American Truth and Reality, has no spin. We have perspectives, opinions, no different than any other radio program or show.
Right.
And perspectives.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is a chasm, a large chasm between mainstream media, if you will, MSNBC, NBC, CBS.
And
ABC, CNN.
You mean among each
all
other?
All the mainstream media versus Fox News.
Oh.
And who do you rely on more? Well, the American people have consistently rendered their verdict
with Fox.
For years, that is Fox. However, interestingly enough, if Fox News is so quote unquote Republican or conservative,
yeah,
as the other viewpoints in these other networks suggest they are, then. And it calls into question the true power of the media, because not every election goes Republican. Right. Not every election goes Democrat.
Right.
So the American people uniquely sift through their media sources to come to their own conclusions and ultimately decide themselves what is truth and what's not so true.
Interesting, interesting. You like the Jay Weber show? Oh, we should. That's pretty local. Yeah. But well, you know what? What do you heard this? Is it, you want to do Corey? Yet?
We're gonna have to edit this part out.
All right.
We'll just clip it. And all right. Move on to something else. So, speaking of Fox News, they report today, and have been reporting, that Obama has come out and asked that we all need to be patient with the economy. Now, I find that quite interesting, because when Barack Obama took office, he inherited a financial crisis that was not George W. Bush's fault.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to pin it on Bush, but it wasn't his fault.
Mm-hmm.
It was multidimensional in terms of reasons why. It was the perfect storm, but he did inherit a tough situation. But instead of focusing on the economy, President Obama decided to focus on health care and reforming it, and told us how great it was going to be for the economy. And he snarled up our resources, our time, our energy, and our focus the first 2 years in office on something that is the best in the world, could use some reform, but needs to be tweaked and reformed, not overhauled.
Yeah. Hey, Barack, where was your patience? You did that so fast that I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was passed on Christmas Eve. When we were spending, when I'm looking at spending holiday with my family, if I haven't seen it, it's a special time. You're slamming this through to a vote Christmas Eve. You did this behind my back, you SOB. You held me up is what you did. And you're telling me to be patient now? Why weren't you patient? You plunged us into this mess.
What?
You came right in, and you didn't even wait, listen, or look. You just thrashed and hashed and slashed and burned $1 trillion of our money.
Well, Pelosi's in there. Harry Reid is in there. They were the ones that brought the bills to the floor of the House and the Senate to be voted on, perhaps at the direction of the president. Perhaps he was capitalizing on having the majority.
At the direction of the president, senator by senator and rep by rep.
But there's no.
How much do you want?
There's no.
Representative ABC. What do you want in your state? 12 million? You got it. Next.
We're back to CNN. Remember, or I should say C-SPAN. Remember, C-SPAN was going to be in these meetings and these hearings. We never saw C-SPAN.
Yeah,
never,
that was. Right.
They're all closed door deal making under the table.
Every one of them.
And we're supposed to trust.
It makes me mad and sick. The more I think about it.
We're supposed to be patient and trust.
And we elected this guy, and
we're
going to re-elect him. He's going to win again. I believe it. There is not a significant contender who's going to knock him off.
I'm not convinced of that. You heard about Governor Rick Perry out of Texas is thinking about running.
Yeah, but
I don't know that he has it. We'll see.
I never even heard of him until he announced he was president.
Well, we'll see. You know,
who's the other guy? Paul?
Pawlenty is in the race.
No,
Romney.
There's another guy with a P.
Ron Paul?
No.
Well, certainly the Republicans and the conservatives need to choose their man early.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a field of 50. It's like the Belmont Stakes, a field of 16 coming around the far turn.
Well, it's early.
It's a big horse race and nobody's in the lead. It's a mess. It's a mess. He's going to get. The Republican Party is so dissected and trisected. There's just not. They're not going to unite in time.
Well, there's two reasons I disagree with you. Mainly, three reasons. Number one, it's way too early. Back in June of 1991, there was a candidate, a governor. What is that, 18 months out from the election, that was not declared as a presidential candidate and had some interest, started an exploratory committee by the name of William Jefferson Clinton. And out of nowhere, Bill Clinton wins the presidency. Why? Because the economy was not in good shape at the end of George Bush Sr.'s presidency, and Clinton capitalized on that. So it's going to be the economy, of course. And the candidate of choice has not been given the full glow of the media in order to separate him or herself from the rest of the pack.
So is that a tactic, maybe?
Well, no, it's just the process.
Confuse the attacker by sending a flurry of false candidates out there. Because Trump's been knocked off.
You know what I heard this week? And I thought of you, actually, Bob.
What?
Because we had talked about Donald Trump, and we both like Trump as a candidate and would love to see him debate Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Or any of the Democrats.
I would like to see
the sport of Donald Trump debating some of the Republicans on the Republican panel of candidates. But Donald Trump now is floating, getting back in.
Get out of here.
Greta Van Susteren reported it on Fox News on her program On the Record just days ago. And, you know, whether there's any merit to it or not, but this could be Donald just trying to stay in the headlines again. He's a businessman.
Yes, he is.
Be interesting to keep an eye on that. I'd like Trump to get back in. Just for the entertainment value.
I would, too.
Just for the entertainment value.
He would be a shaker.
Oh, he would. He would. And I think he would bring a lot of intelligence and pragmatism and practical solutions to where we are as a country and an economy and what we need to do.
You know, I just want somebody to give me the truth. Tell me the truth.
Well, that's, again, goes back to, you have to sift through it through all these news outlets and decide what is the truth and what's not.
You can't. It's too fuzzy on TV.
Right. Well, back to Obama and his requesting patience from the American people on the economy.
Oh, gosh.
You know, how convenient, because an election season is just starting to get underway. Right. And now we all have to be patient. Is that what he's going to run on as candidate Obama for re-election? Let's be patient on the economy. Because that's not going to be a winning formula.
Uh-uh.
No. That's not going to fly.
No.
He owned it after the stimulus bill, and he owned the economy after the health care bill.
Yeah.
Both of which have been abysmal failures by any economic standard.
I'll be patient. When gas comes down to 310, a box of cornflakes goes back to 310, and a cup of coffee goes back to 60 cents.
Well, let me ask you this. What happens if a box of cornflakes goes up to 610?
And it's a gallon of milk. That's where it's going.
A gallon of milk goes to 6 or 710.
It's really bad. When you go to the store, I do go to the store, and I see, oh, my goodness, cereal. It's $5.50, $6 a box.
Food prices are going up.
So you bring the box of cornflakes down to $3, gas down to $3, and unemployment down to 6%, and I'll be patient. I'll be very patient. Patient as you want. I might even vote you in.
We just listened to some program on BBS Radio. A host by the name of Patricia Curry had a guest caller. His name was Richard. I'm not exactly where Richard was from. And they were talking about, essentially, they're predicting that there's going to be catastrophic and economic events hitting the United States of America as early as or prior to this upcoming Christmas, 2011. And they were making recommendations such as, pardon me, buying in surplus food, water, medical supplies, growing your own garden, because there's going to be a stampede to the supermarkets.
Yes, they weren't predicting a natural catastrophe. They were predicting a human
catastrophe.
Stampede. They referenced the stampede at Walmart's or some store where a man was trampled to death, and they made the leap, which was sobering, from we are willing to trample someone for a TV. What are we willing to do for food or water?
And I haven't caught Ms. Corey's other programming to know exactly what other predictions were made, but I would be interested to know what leads up to these predictions. What are the lead-up events? Is it economic first, and then... Because I can see a scenario in our world today. I mean, if you just sit back and analyze what's going on here, China's buying all of our debt. When you buy debt, you have leverage. You own the debt of another nation. Now, if we default on our debt, that could open the door to this one world currency.
That's one thing that they predicted.
One world currency will drive the dollar to the dirt. So what happens to the dollar? A dollar buys you for $3, you get a gallon of milk. Now the dollar is now worth half of its value. Yes. It costs you
$6. $6, yeah. That's what they're saying. The dollar will plunge and the U.S. will default on its debt payments.
So in that scenario.
By Christmas. And the result is by Christmas there will be shortages of food.
So in that scenario, America has a shortage of food. I should say, not so much a shortage, but an affordability factor. They can't afford it.
Yeah, people won't be able to buy it. It won't be in the stores to buy. Because it'd be too expensive to make. Why make it if nobody's going to buy it? What are they going to use to buy it? The dollar's worth crap. You're going to put it in a box of cornflakes for $8? I'm not going to buy that.
We have an affordability issue with oil.
I will buy bread, milk, and eggs.
But we have an affordability issue with oil?
I won't drive.
Okay. Gas? Energy?
I'll solve that.
Food? Water?
Food is a question mark. You know, what she was saying was start preparing for this event, this occurrence. And she went on to say, her guest went on to say, water, 1 liter per day per family member. And a week's supply would be wise. And the second thing she suggested was... grow some food in your yard. And the third thing she suggested was get to know your neighbors and do it together, because that's the support group that you may find yourself needing in these times, is your immediate neighbors. Very insightful and quite unsettling.
I want to kick that around a little bit. Let's just say that there is an economic catastrophe.
Yeah.
That really what we've experienced the first 3 years of the Obama administration is just the
tip of the
calm
iceberg.
Before the storm, tip of the iceberg, if you will.
Yeah.
What happens if the value of the dollar, the confidence in the U.S. dollar as really the strongest currency in the world, is reduced by 25% to 50%?
And there is none.
Yeah. People's net worth, like we saw in the housing situation, the housing bubble. People's net worth, they tied their personal wealth into what they had in their house.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now, what they thought their house was worth, $350,000 or $250,000 or even $150,000, is now worth 40% or 60% of that. It's a 40% reduction.
It's gone.
That affects their confidence, and it's all about consumer confidence. Now you do the same thing with the value of their 401ks and their money, their savings.
Mm-hmm.
This could lead to absolute pandemonium in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real.
That's what she's saying. That's what Patricia Corey is saying. I halted. I got a little unnerved and disturbed when she went on to say that the reason for these disturbances are what did she say? The Syrian Council. She didn't say it on her show, but she believes that there's an entity of beings that's influencing these and directing this course of events.
I'd like to have her on our show. I'd like to learn more about that.
Me too.
I'm not exactly sure, and I don't want to make any judgments on what her beliefs are or what they aren't.
True.
Other than what I saw advertised on her webpages.
Yeah.
But essentially... Aside from Ms. Curry's perspective or opinions of a higher council of beings, or I don't know if it's spiritual beings that are playing a part in this, but pragmatically, aside from Ms. Curry's point of view, my point of view is there is absolute influence of good beings or good spirits that help us and want to help us develop and become closer to God.
Yes.
In our journey
sure.
back to him. And there are evil spirits that are working to prevent us. And
that's where I think she and us would – that's where – and that's why it would be fun to have her as a guest.
It would be great. We could learn a little bit more.
Yeah, we could learn about her. And we could – you can, as an audience, learn more about our opinion and perspective. Because where we come in is the guess that there is a battle on between good and evil.
There may be – we may be saying the same thing in different ways.
Yes, exactly. And the same preparations, by the way, I agree with – that we should make as Christians fighting evil is get some food in your backyard, grow it, get some – stockpile some stuff.
Well, the point she's
making is – not out of fear,
is,
but out of wisdom.
She's making the point that – it's wise to do these things anyway. It's wise to be prepared.
Yeah.
And to be unprepared is unwise.
Yeah.
So if you never need it, well, then it's there and you can use it.
Yeah.
And replenish it. But what happens if you need it and it's not there?
Yeah.
That's when the stampedes of the supermarkets, as the show that she had today was discussing. Anyway, Miss Patricia Corey, very interesting host on BBS Radio. You can find her at bbsradio.com.
What a fascinating show.
Beyond the Matrix is the name of her show, and we'll see if we can get her as a guest on
is
one
that
of
the
our
name of her
future
show?
Program.
Beyond the Matrix.
Beyond the Matrix. I got a lot of questions that I'd like to ask her and get some of her perspectives. Wanted to change the direction of what we're talking about here. I shouldn't say change. I should say bring into light what we're talking about here, because on Sunday, the 12th of June, at the Holy Mass, for those who are Catholic, Roman Catholic, and participate in Holy Mass on Sundays, there's a gospel reading that I found quite interesting, because all gospels are timeless. You know, these Gospels by the Apostles, they were written 2,011 years ago, or perhaps they wrote them a few years after Christ rose from the dead. Could have been 2,009 years ago, 2,008 years ago, whatever. But over 2,000 years ago, and you can apply every Gospel to today, today's times, living in this age. And I found this Gospel to be an interesting one, applicable to our times today, and we'll comment after I read it. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. And whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, O Lord. Very interesting words from our Lord in this Sunday's Gospel.
What's the last phrase? "Those retained by you shall be retained."
Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Mm-hmm. And whose sins you retain are retained.
What does that mean, retain?
Unforgiven. You retain them until perhaps they demonstrate their true
forgiveness,
desire to be forgiven.
I see. Got it.
Well, these are the first priests of the Catholic Church. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all 12 of the apostles. They're the first priests. Those are the priests that Jesus appeared to, and his mother, and Mary Magdala, when he rose from the dead. These are his marching orders. This is the establishment of his church here on earth, what we know today, 2,000 years later, as the Holy Catholic Church. And he gave them a command. But before he gave them command, he used the words, peace be with you.
I love that.
And I was thinking about today on my drive over before the program, you know, we can't have joy without peace.
Without peace.
Without peace, there is no joy.
Right.
So really, the peace of the Lord that he promises us when we go to him,
mm-hmm.
especially as we go to them, him practicing the sacraments
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
the Holy mm-hmm. Catholic Church and of our faith, mm-hmm. when we go to him, we are given peace, which leads to our joy.
Which then becomes joy.
But without him,
right.
we don't go to him. We don't communicate with him.
There
we don't talk
no
to
joy.
Him.
There is no
we don't
joy.
Go to communion, for example, which communion is mm-hmm. to communicate with the Lord in a
yeah.
very deep and spiritual way. Mm-hmm. When we don't practice our faith and the other commands that he gave us, then we drift.
Yeah.
And when we drift away from our Lord, we lose the joy,
joy.
Because there's no peace away and, from our Lord.
And what is replaced with joy? This is a great, just you're right on the money. As
well,
you drift from the Lord and no longer find his peace, maybe as often as you used to, what is that then replaced with?
Well, back when we used to sell, we used to call it FUD.
You got it! FUD!
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Fear. And whose weapons are they?
Well, back
are they
to...
they the Lord's weapons?
Back to what we were talking about before. There are evil
yeah,
influences,
exactly.
evil spirits, if you will.
You got it.
That work on the minds and the hearts and the souls
right.
of every man and woman on the face of this earth.
To drive us away from God, away from Christ. And if they succeed, when, because I fall, I stumble.
Everybody does.
I wander.
Everybody does.
I stray. And I kiddingly say, oh, that grass is, look, I'm sheep. I kiddingly say, look at that green. It's so long. I'm going to get me some. Whoa, there's the rocks. Oh, I'm stuck. He comes.
Every time. The grass
Picks
is
me
greener.
Up,
the grass is always greener to us.
Puts me around his shoulders and walks me back to the flock.
Well, the good shepherd, even if one yeah. goes astray, he will call to
he
his
will
sheep.
Call and we will hear.
And he'll come for you and us.
And Rick, that's where this show comes in. That's why I love being a co-host with you on this show. The name of the show is American Truth and Reality.
And Reality. You got to have truth in order to get to reality.
The truth shall set you free.
Indeed. It's interesting, the last sentence that you asked about. First, he starts it with, receive the Holy Spirit. Our Lord starts
right.
the last sentence of the Sunday's Gospel. Receive the Holy Spirit.
He breathed on them. Yeah.
And he instilled in them
yeah.
for eternity the gift of his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Some say, what's the Holy Spirit? And of course, the Trinity of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's a mystery.
Right.
And it's supposed to be a mystery. We're not supposed to have all the answers because it's incumbent upon us to seek out the answers, to find them
at some point
in our journey.
You either believe or not.
In our journey. But in our limited humanity, we don't have all the answers, but yet we have the answers available to us each individually. But he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the love that emanates between Almighty God the Father and Jesus his Son.
It's the peace.
And it's the love that emanates from them, of which peace is rendered to those who are open and willing to receive the Holy Spirit. There are those who aren't willing. They're not open. They're not able in their state of mind or the state of their soul to open that door. They can. They have the free will to do so, but they choose not to. And so often I find these type of people that keep the door closed on the Lord, and they just have no idea as to what they're missing out on in the way of peace, which will lead to their joy. And it's unfortunate. And those are the folks and the souls that I think we need to pray for and hope that they just open the door or keep the door open and let the good Lord come into their heart. Because he's not going to bash the door down. Sometimes unfortunate circumstances or situations befall all of us, and that's a call to holiness. It's a test of our fortitude or a test of our love for him and where we come down. And if we reject our Lord and keep the door closed on him, he can't come in and do his work.
We'd like to know if O'Donnell, what's his name, first name?
Lawrence O'Donnell.
I would like to know if Lawrence O'Donnell is a Roman Catholic. He's Irish, there's no doubt.
Well, first of all, I'm not, you know, there's a lot of politicians. Kennedy's come to mind.
Yeah.
There's a lot of news people that claim to be Catholic.
Right.
Catholic in name, but they're not Catholic in practice. Well, if you're not Catholic in practice, but you're a Catholic in name, that's hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. You end up being a hypocrite because you're either with the teachings of your faith or you're not. And if you're a pick and chooser, I choose these but not those, calling yourself a Catholic doesn't make any difference. You can call yourself anything you want. You're measured by your actions, not measured by your words. But the interesting thing about today's gospel is at the very end, and this is where our Protestant friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, struggle with why they don't recognize the sacrament of confession before you go to communion or the forgiveness of sins. Clearly, these are our Lord's words. He says, speaking to his disciples, the very first priests of the Catholic Church, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. In other words, I'm giving you the power to forgive men's sins in my name. Just like I forgave sins and I'm the Lord God, I can forgive sins. I'm handing that power over to you. My Holy Spirit will come through you, and I give you the power to forgive men's sins. And those sins that you retain, because they're not ready to be forgiven, I give you that power to retain them until such time as you see it appropriate in my name that those sins are forgiven. And many Protestants struggle with that because they don't think they need to do anything but say to I accept the Lord as Lord Jesus is my Lord and Savior or my personal Savior, and that's good enough. And clearly, our Lord is saying that's not good enough. He's giving the outline and the instructions of what today is known as the sacrament of confession or reconciliation.
And Rick, I'm a fairly new Catholic personally, but I never understood why forgiveness is so important in our faith until just now, when you read that gospel. Because what he said to the apostles, those 12 first priests, was, if you forgive someone's sins, I will forgive them too. So it's beholden upon us as Christians to help others get to Christ by not holding grudges, by making a point of forgiving people and making sure that they know it. It's important to patch up old differences you may have with people. It's important to forgive people around you, near you, especially those who you love. It's especially important to forgive them so that Christ will forgive them too, if they are in fact repentant. And now they're closer to Christ. Christ is closer to them, and we have helped. We have helped. I have helped when I do that. So,
well, I think what it does is gives us the framework to receive the Holy Spirit. We're asking for the Lord's forgiveness the way he instructed for us to obtain it. He said, these are my guys. These are my priests. These are my disciples, my followers that were with me in life and death and resurrection.
Yeah.
They're the direct witnesses.
Yeah.
They're special.
They're my appointed.
I hope on Patricia Curry's show, Beyond the Matrix on BBS Radio, I hope the Syrian council she's referring to is the 12 apostles.
I do, too. That's why I want to run.
Well.
Yeah, I hope there's 12 of them, first of all. I hope.
Because that'll, well,
that'll, you know, make us really consistent.
And some people don't know that.
And a council should have 12.
Even some Catholics.
And a 13th, which was Christ, to break a tie.
Well, some people don't remember that Judas was, you know, the quote-unquote 12th apostle.
Yeah, right.
So then there was 11, but after Christ's resurrection, Matthias became the 12th apostle.
Interesting. But, and Judas withdrew from the council by his own actions.
You're talking about the apostleship. Now you're not confusing Miss Curry's.
No.
I don't want to represent Miss Curry's show.
Judas.
But I don't want, just for the record, I don't want to mix Miss Curry's belief with a Syrian council with our belief of 12 apostles that are influencing and directing.
Things in our world from a
good standpoint.
Oh gosh. Well, through the Bible, maybe. Yeah. Through the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Well, through the scripture, of course, coming directly from our Lord.
Yeah.
You know, there's a book that I read, one of the greatest books I've ever read, and very eye-opening. It's a book by Father Michael Scanlon, who has a very, very impressive career, from being a young man all the way up to his responsibilities and the launching of Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. He wrote a book. I'm not exactly sure what year he wrote it in. I'll just take a minute to check here. I'll give that to you here in a moment. I believe it was in the year 1980, actually. So we're going back 31 years. It's called Deliverance from Evil Spirits, A Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. And just a great book of outlining the different influences that spiritual entities, good and bad, can have on us, and how do we conduct ourselves as in this warfare? We're soldiers in this war.
How do we fight
in this spiritual warfare?
The battle is on, and we are being called to fight. The battle is on. The enemy is being identified. We know the enemy. We know FUD. We know the enemy. How do we fight? That book is gives you the weapons of the warfare that we are to use.
Deliverance from Evil Spirits by Father Michael Scanlon, or just by Michael Scanlon. You can pick it up for just a couple of dollars on eBay or on Amazon and get it in used or new condition. It's a paperback, but it's a regular size paperback. It's not one of those small paperbacks, but it's an excellent read. It's interesting, and it's very eye-opening as to the forces around everybody that are for good and for evil purposes, and it helps you discern between the two.
And what's his first name?
Michael.
Who is, what significance does that have?
Well, Michael, of course, Saint Michael, he could have been named after.
Who's that?
Well, of course, Saint Michael is the archangel that the Lord sends to battle with those spiritual demons and entities that is directed by the Prince of Darkness, Satan himself.
Archangel Michael.
Now today, I'm not going to read the whole gospel, but today at the daily mass, which was for Saturday, June 11th, I will read the whole gospel, actually, because it ties into what we're talking about. Let me read it, and we'll make some comments on it. This is our reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Drive out demons. Without cost you have received. Without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts. No sack for the journey, or a second tunic, or sandals or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, O Lord. Clearly, our Lord Jesus, in this Gospel of today's Daily Mass, Saturday, June 11th, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. These are all things that our Lord's first priests in his name, after our Lord rose from the dead and ascended into heaven to be with the Father, they were able to do in his name. I mean, you can imagine today, you walk up to somebody, they're lying sick in the hospital, a little bed of cancer, and they come in and they're prayed over in the name of Jesus, and they're completely cured, and the doctors can't find any cancer or any explanation as to how they're cured, but they were terminal just moments before, and now they're completely cured, and they get up and walk around. Could you imagine that? Witnessing? Well, that's what these 12 apostles and disciples, that's what they did, and that's what they saw, and other people saw it, and they recorded it.
And other people did.
Now, we go into a court of law today, and we use eyewitness testimony as the most powerful form of testimony. But yet, here's eyewitness testimony, written down, documented, and for some reason, we don't want to believe, because why? 2,000 years went by, and we weren't there, and it was different times. We had different media or different ways for things to get out.
No. No, this is where I have a real hard... This is where I have a real trouble. This point, right, that we're at in the road right now. This is where I really struggle. Because what he's saying in the gospel that you just read is he's telling his disciples to do it in my name. Is he telling you the same thing he's telling his disciples, that he told his disciples 2,000 years ago? Is he telling you to do the same thing? And I'm asking me this question, really. I'm asking anybody else. I'm asking myself, what is he telling me? Does he want me to go to a town and find a home to live in for a few days? I'm afraid to do that. Period. Fear.
Well,
period.
Clearly he was talking to the 12, because he says Jesus said to the 12, and they're defining who he is talking to. But like so many gospels and so many ways our Lord spoke to his apostles and disciples and his followers, you can take and extract different meanings. It might mean something for some one person and something else, but it's the same words. And that, of course, is the gift of the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
being
true.
Able to
discern, discernment,
and to guide you, even though you might be presenting two different scenarios, two different
guide
people,
you. Yeah, it's good,
two different
that's
ways.
That's very good.
It's multidimensional, if you will.
Yeah.
So
well, that's why it's important to go to church every day, to listen to His command.
And if you can't go to church every day, you mean pray every day.
Pray, yes. Pray every day, and ask him, what is his commandment? What is his command for you? If you imagine yourself in the middle of a war, and this is a war of good and evil, you are a soldier. I am a soldier. I am a private. I'm not an officer or a gentleman. I'm a private. And I need to be successful and survive this battle. But the Lord doesn't want just survival. I think he's... wants us to attack, seek out those evil spirits, find them.
Well, clearly,
and drive them out.
Clearly, in today's gospel, Bob, he's the words. I mean, these are the Lord's words. These aren't mine or your words. He says, "Drive out demons."
I love it.
So the question is okay. Well, how do you do that? And again, was he speaking just to the 12, or was he speaking to both you and I?
I think he's speaking to you and I.
Well. Again, that's for every person to decide in their own mind and conscience and soul.
Yeah.
However, assuming that that's the case, which I happen to believe it is too, this is exactly what Father Scanlon's book is all about, deliverance from evil spirits.
Yeah.
He's basically telling you, you don't have to allow the evil spirits to take control and have power over you.
Yeah.
You have power over them, but you only have that power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this book that Rick is holding up in his hand.
And without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no power over these entities, these spirits.
Right. And this book that Rick is holding up in his hand is the same size as many of you may know of a book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu in China. The Chinese warlord. This is a manual. That's a manual for field generals. That book, from Rommel through Schwarzenegger and beyond. This is a manual for Christian privates.
Well, this is a war book, a war manual, and there is a battle between good and evil. And if you're not prepared, whether you want to be prepared or not is an irrelevant question. Right. The battle is going on.
It is on.
And if you're not prepared and you can't understand how to engage in the battle, then this book tells you exactly what you need to do. But the point is there's no power over any evil entity except through our Lord Jesus and in his name. Right. That's where the power derives from.
You lose without him.
He's the Lord of everything.
You go up against an evil spirit without him, and you're going to get, as I found out in my personal life, I got slaughtered.
Because you didn't have the protection,
I did not have the protection
of our Lord. He owns everything. He has it all. It's his universe.
He sent me there on purpose, I think.
Perhaps. But you're not
disciplinary
alone.
Disciplinary reasons.
Yeah, you're not alone. But clearly, we all have battles with demons. I don't think there's any question. Anthony Weiner. He had some demons.
Yeah.
He let the demons get him. And if we wrap ourselves in the mantle and the protection of our Lord Jesus, we're on the winning team.
Yeah.
You can't defeat the Lord Jesus. He has everything. He has all the power. Mm-hmm. Satan has no power over the Lord Jesus and the Lord God. None.
And that's why I think this Patricia Corey lady is going to separate herself from us. She wants to stockpile food and water.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what she has to say when we have her guest on the show. But the point being is that we are ill prepared. Wouldn't you agree, Bob? If we don't arm ourselves in the armor of our Lord Jesus in the spiritual warfare that is clearly going on in our country, in our communities, in our politics, in our faith,
in our lives,
in our divorce rates,
in our day to day
life. And we're both divorced. We've been through that experience. It's not pleasant for anybody. And millions of people have. And this is not to cast judgment on those of us who have been divorced or those of us who haven't. But clearly, divorce is not a good thing.
Horrible.
And it can lead to a better future for some and others, worse future. But I don't think that it can be construed as a good thing. But our society is decaying on many levels. And we have to ask ourselves why. What's causing the decay? Is it just happenstance? Or are we drifting as a country, as a people, as a nation, away from the Lord?
Away from the Lord.
And therefore drawing his wrath.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you where I'm concerned. We've talked about this before. Israel, our only Mideast ally. Israel, whether we want to believe it or not, I think the truth and the reality is Israel and the Israelites and the Jewish people are God's chosen people. I think the Lord has said it himself. I think history is enough evidence and demonstrates that anybody, any nation that goes up against Israel loses. Now, why is that? Well, if they're God's chosen people, it probably has something to do with God protecting his chosen people, regardless of military might, economic might, and circumstances that are way beyond Israel's ability to control. But yet, there they stand as a beacon of light, surrounded by nations that hate them and want nothing more than their complete destruction. What concerns me, and you remember a couple weeks ago, Benjamin Netanyahu came to the United States and embarrassed our president, Barack Obama, on the world stage and gave him a lecture.
Gave Obama a piece of his mind, didn't he? I love it.
In a little history lesson.
I love that one.
But I'm concerned that the policies of this country could drift into almost a media-driven, anti-Israel, Israel is the problem type of thinking. And should we do that, we are going up against, not only losing the protection of the Lord based upon our Christian values as a nation, but we are going up against Almighty God in going against Israel. And the subsequent consequences to this nation could very well, and very well turn into what we were talking about before, and that is God's wrath that we brought upon ourselves because we attacked him and his people, and he has now taken his blessings of economic superiority, military superiority, and the American way of life and decided to not bless it anymore.
Let me ask you a question. If he is reelected next year, Obama, do you think it will be the voice of the American people saying, Lord, we don't trust in you anymore? Do you think that's the case?
No. No, I think what it would be is they bought into the false promises for the second time. And I don't know that I see that happening. I don't necessarily see that happening. But, you know, the American people are very unpredictable. I think everyone will agree that the American electorate, especially the swing voters, you know, you're always going to have your Republicans that vote Republican, Democrats that vote Democratic. But those swing voters, that 10% middle swing vote, some vote with who they think the better candidate is. They vote their wallet. They vote social issues, whatever the case may be. They're the swing voters that swing the election. That group of people is going to determine this election as they do all elections. And I don't know that I see that group of people buying President Obama as candidate Obama for a second term, his rhetoric. Again, do you?
You think he's a Christian?
He says he is.
You think he is?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't know that he's a Muslim either. But I don't know that he's a Christian.
He's more of a Muslim than a Christian. He does not follow, in my opinion.
But then again, I don't know that that's fair because, you know, how do you prove whether he's a Christian? You know, it's all within...
Well, the country has gone... We're heading to disaster with him. He's the captain. We're hitting... I think we've hit the iceberg. I think we've all agreed we've hit an iceberg. He's at the wheel. Obama is at the wheel. And I think we've hit an iceberg. Now, are we on the Titanic? The strongest ship ever, unsinkable, no... Are we?
I hope not.
I think a lot of Americans believe this ship is unsinkable. But you know what? I think we did hit an iceberg.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that if we continue on our course of denying the true existence and presence of our Lord in our minds and our hearts as individuals and as a nation, and how our founding fathers of this nation constructed the Constitution and the documents, and we continue to morally decay on multiple levels, we will fall out of the blessings and the grace of the good Lord God, and we will bring upon ourselves one catastrophe after another, of which economic could be just one, and it could be many. And we're opening ourselves up to literally letting the devil in the door, if you will. And I don't think it's God zapping us one way or the other. I think it's whether we move closer to him as individuals and therefore as a nation, or we move farther away from him. And I'm not sure how much longer. Speaking about patience, you know, Obama's asking us to be patient with the economy. Well, how much more patience is our Lord God in heaven going to have to endure with the abomination of the abortions and the literally taking of innocent human life in the mother's womb? How much longer should he be patient with humanity?
Have we lost a generation by now there to that?
I think
it's been going on for 20 or 30
years. It's some literally ungodly number in the 20 to 30 million range of human beings since Roe v. Wade was passed as law by the Supreme Court in 1973.
And Rick, all what you're saying is right, but I think it's not so much because we are drifting away from Christ. It's because evil is absolutely under. We are absolutely under attack.
Well, then we need Christ, and if we don't have Christ and the armor of Christ, and how do we
fight? Soul by soul, we have to fight back, soul by soul, and that's why I don't listen to the news every day, because I have my own struggles, I got my own problems, I'm under attack personally, day in, all day, with disappointment, fear, worry. I'm afraid. I'm worried.
But then your faith saves you.
And I go days like this. And when I stay away from church because I'm afraid and because I'm worried and because it's because I've lost faith. When I do return to the church and to my knees, I find that I become stronger and more stronger.
And the peace.
And the peace that comes from that strength is wonderful.
Sure.
So everybody within hearing distance of this radio station, the message is to return to your knee. And don't be afraid. Fear, uncertainty, doubt.
Well, Christ himself said it was, every time he cured, I want to say almost every time, I'm not exactly sure it was every time, but most every time that I can recall reading Gospels where he cured the sick, he healed the blind man, and now the blind can see, and he healed the deaf and the mute people that couldn't hear or see, and now all of a sudden after he rubbed the dirt in their eyes and healed them, they could see. He healed the cripples. Every time he did that I can recall, he always tied it to one of the most powerful statements that we have to remember. And he says to him, it was your faith that saved you. So if we're fearful, we're uncertain, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, those are the tools of evil influences in our life that want to keep us distracted. If we succumb to those, we can drift away. You made the analogy of the United States of America as like the Titanic. Okay, we hit the iceberg, it's a hole in it, but we're also adrift. We're also way out at sea. And the Lord is that lighthouse that calls us back to him. And he will save us, but through faith in him. And should we, as a nation, continue, whether it's abortions or just the moral decay that we are experiencing on many levels, social, economic, political, religious, faith, if that continues, we step away from his grace and we're ill-equipped to handle these situations. If we go to him, we have his protection, at least as individuals. And if we do it in large numbers. You know what reminds me of this, Bob, is do you remember right after September 11th? That was a call to holiness. This country was afraid. And what did this country do in large numbers? They all went to Mass. They went to church. They held prayer vigils. And unfortunately, step away from the grace of our Lord. These things beset us. We bring them onto ourselves. But yet, the grace can be returned because many people returned to their faith and became more prayerful. Now, has that held up since September 11th? 10 years later? That's debatable. But it was there. And should any catastrophes hit this nation or our people as Americans, prayer is going to be the only thing in faith that saves us. I want to thank all of our listeners. I want to thank my co-host, Bob Brown, for joining me today. You've been listening to American Truth and Reality with Richard TNT and Bob Brown. We hope to hear from you next week. Thanks again for listening. Take care, everybody.